Find it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Erie House Showtime Radio. We have to tell you, gang, there's a saying in showbiz, the backstage show is always better. I don't think I need to elaborate, or I better not. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
I'm Dave Binkley from Weird Disturbed Man Movie and Spaceship One, and telling everybody there's more than one way to come down off a ladder. And we are down here with...
I have no idea who I am, but it says on my nameplate, it is I, Gar the Ghoul, blabbling to you all. But don't ask me any questions about that, because I don't know.
And there is more than one way, and I do not recommend the quickest.
Mm-hmm. I don't either, because I did try that, and it didn't work out for the best.
No.
Yes.
Not to make light of it, but, you know, we started out with this show,
go ahead.
The blind leading the blind, but it has become the lame leading the lame.
The infirmed leading the infirmed.
Yes.
To the infirmary, maybe.
It's not bad enough we're all bat crap crazy. Now we're physically challenged. Aging the fun, it is.
Well, we've all been mentally challenged for years, so why not, you know?
Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah, we hardly notice our infirmities. Want to welcome our live listeners, Fogsbane, GGSI Paper, and Them What We Can't See, and Them What Ain't Here Yet. And
what about our dead listeners? No?
They're
outvoted. They don't show up on the list.
They don't show
up on the list. Yeah. If they do show up on the list, I'm out of here.
Sounds racist to me. I think we need to see everybody.
Yes. See? I can see.
Have you tried eBay? For what? A cloak of invisibility.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I wanted one. Walmart. Oh.
Walmart's
okay.
Out.
Walmart's
at least where GGSI paper
they're
is.
Always... Yep.
Try Home Depot.
How do you know they're not there and you just don't see them, GGSI paper?
Exactly. You have to look really close at the shelves because you won't see the product, but they'll have a sticker on the, you know, right at the facing of the shelf. Invisibility cloaks, $3.99 for a pair.
No, these are stories of sightlessness we have for you tonight. On show number 497, as we steamroll quickly to show 500 coming up on May 1st.
If you were invisible, wouldn't you be sightless to the sighted? I don't know.
You know, I've actually seen threads of people talking about that, because if you're invisible, then light has nothing to refract off of your retina, which
and
are now invisible.
Blind too.
And you would be sightless too. So that is a good scientifical type question. If anyone else has an answer, we'd be...
It throws light on the invisible girl, you know. Maybe she's... Okay, but it would be really freaky if the invisible girl was invisible except for her eyeballs. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be disturbing. It's like, look, it's the invisible eyeball.
All she needs to do is wear sunglasses then that'll take care of that.
There you go. Well, I don't know. And it'd be... Got a floating sunglasses. Yeah, it's hard to get around.
Again, quickly to sightless stories, and only because I feel like Babe Ruth with a called shot. I am losing my vision as we speak. Therefore, I shall abscond with some sugary treats in just a moment.
Abscond.
Let's get on. Yeah.
Turn on a light.
I don't think that'll help.
A light is not
Whoa, buddy.
Yeah.
That's not good.
So where do we want to start?
Well, let's see. I can barely see the studio. And I'm not joking, gang. We got what? Tonight?
How about we go to the shadow?
Let us go to the shadow. It's called Blind Beggar Dies. And it's from?
April 17th, 1938. According to 8 people in Wyoming.
Oh.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shadow's exciting adventure will be on the air in just a moment. But first, here's a news flash for every motorist in America. It's about a sensational new kind of tire that will stop your car quicker, safer on wet roads than you've ever stopped before. And the tire that will give you this remarkable new skid protection is the new Goodrich Safety Silvertown with the Lifesaver Tread. This Lifesaver Tread has a truly amazing action on wet, slippery pavement. As the spiral bars of this tread strike the pavement, they act like a battery of windshield wipers. These bars sweep the water from under the tire, force it out through deep drainage grooves, make a dry track for the rubber to grip. Thus, you're protected against skids in all directions. You get the quickest stops you've ever seen. And remember this, too. Silvertowns are also the only tires that give you the famous Golden Ply blowout protection. When thousands are killed or injured every year in accidents due to blowouts and skids, don't take chances. Equip with these life-saving Silvertowns now. That's the way to get protection against both skids and blowouts at no extra cost. The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The identity of the Shadow is known only to his intimate friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Blind Beggar Dies.
Evening, Singing Jim. Oh. Chilly tonight, isn't it?
Indeed it is. Thank you, sir. There are smiles.
Hello, Jim. Wish me luck tonight. I'm going out with a new boyfriend. He's awful nice.
All the luck in the world, you miss. Thank you. There are smiles which make us happy.
Well, if it isn't Singing Jim. Hold him down the same corner after we told him to pay protection to move.
Yeah. He don't pay off and he don't scare.
I don't make enough to keep body and soul together. Now, you go away. Let me alone.
Oh, so you're going to try to buck our record, eh? All right, Marty, bring him back in the alley.
Oh, now, wait.
Here we make him see things
now,
out.
Now, take your hands off me. You let me alone.
Come on,
let me alone.
We just want to talk to you a minute. We got a proposition for you.
But now, I told you, I don't need protection. I have a license because I'm blind. The police don't bother me, none.
Bring him back over here, Marty. That's private enough.
Now,
okay, Spike.
Now, wait.
Easy on that blackjack.
Shut up and hold your mitt over his mouth so we don't let
him. Now, don't.
Swore. Okay.
I'm an old man. I can't stand it. I haven't any money to pay you, I tell you.
All right, give me once over.
Right. And listen, Singing Jim. Next time you fork over a buck a week or you'll get the worst. Okay. Marty, dump him over the wall there and let's go.
Gathering them,
huh? Yes.
Isn't it amazing how any little thing can get a crowd together?
Sometimes those little things turn out to be big things, Margot.
That's just Lamont Cranston, the amateur criminologist, coming to the fore.
Oh, look. They're trying to get into that alley where somebody hurt, probably.
Oh, yes.
All right, move on. That's the ambulance.
Oh, good evening to you, Mr. Cranston.
Oh, what's wrong, Clancy?
Oh, it's poor old Singing Jim. Somebody found him in the alley all smashed up. Looks like a truck ran over him. All right, out of the way. Move on now.
Poor old Jim. Lamont. Look at his face and head. He doesn't look like he's been run over.
Oh, don't hit me. I can't pay. I can't.
Jack, back to the hospital and make it fast.
Oh.
This old boy's in a bad way.
Lamont, somebody beat him up. But who'd do a thing like that and why?
I don't know, Margo. I've known Singing Jim for years.
So have I. Everybody knows him and helped him out.
Margo, he looked pretty bad. I think I'll go to the hospital and see what I can do for him. More than this than meets the eye. Want to come along?
Yes, Lamont. I hope we're not too late.
Of course you can see Singing Jim, Mr. Cranston.
How is he, Doctor?
Triple concussion. Looks pretty hopeless.
Poor old Jim.
How did it happen?
Well, the police report listed as a hit-and-run case. In my opinion, he was beaten with some blunt instrument. A piece of pipe or a blackjack. He's right in here.
No. Don't hit me. I'm an old man. No.
I'm afraid you won't get much out of him, but you can try. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Thanks, Doctor.
Oh, I can't pay. I need protection.
Now, Singing Jim.
I don't...
Jim, it's Lamont Cranston. I've come to help you. And Miss Lane is here, too. You remember her.
Hello, Jim. What happened? Who did this to
you? Keep away from me. Let me go. Don't hit me again.
I'm afraid he's delirious, Margo. Jim, listen. We're not going to hurt you. You're safe now. Who hit you? Why did they do it, Jim?
They told me I had to pay $1 a week. Or they'd give my corner to somebody else. Some phony that knew how to mooch enough to pay him for protection. No, Jim. Don't hit me.
Oh, Lamont, that can't be true. Nobody could be as low as to try to make a racket out of begging, organize them, and make them pay tribute.
It is hard to believe, Margot, but must be something to it. Wait a minute. Jim, listen to me. Who did this? Who's been trying to make you pay money to them?
Oh, no, don't hit me, Spike. Let go of me, Marty. Don't, I can't pay. Apple Mary can't pay either. You took Apple Mary's stand. Now you're trying to take mine. Don't hit me again. Don't!
Lamont, I'd better get the doctor. He's unconscious.
Yes, Margot, but I'm afraid it's more than that.
What?
I'm afraid Singing Jim has sung his last ballad.
You mean...
Yes, Margot. Singing Jim is dead.
Folks, I guess you're all kind of wondering why the word went out over the beggar's grapevine for us to meet here in my place.
Yes, there was one.
And maybe you ain't. Anyway, Apple Mary's got something to say to us.
Thanks, Lame Bill. Thanks. Folks, I guess by this time you've all heard that poor old Singing Jim's dead.
Yeah.
And I guess you know why he's dead.
Yes, sir.
Now, don't get the idea that I've asked you all here to fight these here scurvy rats that pull Jim into an alley and beat him to death. I ain't asking that.
Can't expect no help from the police, Mary. You know that.
No, you can't, Mary. It's...
Yes, we tried that. And they just laugh at the idea of anybody trying to make us pay for the right to make a living on the streets. The only way we know how. Selling apples like I do. Singing like Jim did. Or selling pencils and shoelaces like Lame Bill here. No, we can't expect no help from the police.
Yeah, but why don't they get the guys that murdered old Jim?
They're investigating it, so they say.
Yeah, but what are we going to do, Mary? Jim's death was just a warning to the rest of us. It means pay up or get the same.
No, it don't.
Yeah, that's
no,
what
it
means,
don't.
Mary.
Because something's happened. Somebody's going to help us what can't help ourselves.
Well, who is it, Mary?
Now, before I tell you, I want to remind you that I'm not a drinking woman, and I ain't given to hearing things, and I ain't easy convinced. But last night, late, somebody talked to me at my stand. Somebody that you've all heard of. Somebody that you that have got your eyesight don't believe in because nobody's ever seen him.
Who was it, Mary?
The Shadow.
Shadow? Oh, he wouldn't bother trying to help folks like us, Mary.
Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong because he asked me to call all your folks together. He promised that he'd come here tonight and tell us how he can help us.
When's he coming? Why isn't he here?
Hey, what's that?
Huh? I am here.
Why? Where'd that laugh come from?
Sounds like it come from right behind Mary.
No, it came from back in that corner.
Wait, don't be frightened. I am the Shadow. I've come here to help you. If you You will accept my unseen presence without question, without fear.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's right. We got no reason to be scared of the shadow. We ain't done anything wrong.
Yeah, we ought to be glad he's willing to help us out and protect us from fellas like Spike, Marty.
Maybe he can help us find out who those fellas are.
Wait a minute, all of you. I've told the Shadow all I know about Spike and Marty, all any of us knows. Now you listen to what he wants us to do.
You are victims of the meanest racket in the world. The Shadow will help you if you are willing to help yourselves. I have reason to believe that one among you is a spy, an informer.
Why, where is he? Point him out.
No sooner or later he will betray himself. There are too many of you for me to single out the one hostile mind in this room.
What do you want us to do, Shadow?
We'll do anything you say.
Go on doing as you have been doing. When these men approach you again, pay them, or promise payment. And then go to the west wall of the National Armory. Make your sign of distress in white chalk, using the symbols you use in communicating with one another. The Shadow will understand them and come to your aid. As for the informer in your midst, let him take this warning to the petty racketeers he serves. If one more cent of tribute is levied, if they so much as lay a hand upon one of you, they will answer to the Shadow with their lives.
Yeah, who's there? That you, Marty?
Yeah, it's me, Spike.
What took you so long? Say, you look like the real McCoy with those smoke glasses and that fetch.
I used to make a living faking this blind and lame gag before you showed me how to make some easy money.
Well, what happened at that meeting at Lame Bill's place?
Plenty.
You look like you've seen a ghost.
No, I ain't seen no ghost, Spike.
What then?
I heard something tonight that I don't want to hear again. The voice of a guy you couldn't see. He was right there talking to us.
You've been hearing things.
No, it's the truth, I tell you. You've heard about this guy they call a Shadow, haven't you?
Yeah, I've heard about him all right. So what?
He was at that meeting. That's why Apple Mary called it. The Shadow got the whole story out of her. How we worked this racket, and now he's out to get us.
How's he going to do it?
He's got it all fixed for the beggars to put their distress signs on the wall of the National Armory. The first time we try to collect any more dough.
You say the Shadow got all the dough from Apple Mary?
Yeah, I tell you, we got to lay off.
And kiss all that money we get from the beggars goodbye? Not on your life.
Yeah, but Spike, the Shadow's poison. He's caught plenty of big shots with dough and their gangs. What chance have we got against a guy like that?
Listen, punk, you're all the gang I got, and I ain't in the big dough, but I'm plenty smart. And I got an idea how to get rid of this Shadow.
All right. How you gonna do it?
Listen, all we gotta do is get a hold of Apple Mary. Bring her up here to the hideout and keep her here.
Yeah, and get the Shadow plumb on our trail.
That's just what I want. And to be sure he does get here, you're gonna chalk up a message on the armory wall. You know the signs I use.
Yeah, I know them. But supposing you do get Apple Mary here and this Shadow comes after her, then what?
Then he's going to walk into the sweetest little trap you ever saw sprung.
But you can't see the guy.
I don't have to see him. All I have to do is hear him talk or laugh, the way they say he always does.
All right, Spike. Okay, I hope you know what you're doing.
I haven't given you a bad stare yet, have I? We'll grab Apple Mary tonight and bring her down here.
Drive past the National Armory, Lamont.
I'm looking for handwriting on the wall, Margot.
What do you mean?
The Shadow made arrangements with Apple Mary and her friends to communicate with them. That way, those racketeers try any more strong-arm tactics.
Do you think they will?
Yes. There's a reckless bravado about a petty criminal that you won't find in big-time crooks.
Well, they're just as dangerous. Don't forget that, Lamont.
I'm not forgetting it for a minute, Margot. There's a saying, little snakes are more deadly than the big ones. Stop the car, Margot. Here's the armory.
What is it, Lamont?
There's writing on the wall. Maybe what I'm looking for.
You mean those chalk marks, those crosses and circles and numbers?
Yes. Yes, it's a message from Apple Mary. She needs help. She's waiting for the Shadow in the basement of 19 River Street.
I'll drive you there, Lamont.
All right, Margot. Not all the way. Stop a block from that address and let me out.
Very well, Lamont. Shall I wait for you?
Yes, Margot. Wait half an hour. If I'm not back by then, notify the police to raid that house.
But why, Lamont? What makes you think...
I don't think Apple Mary sent that message, Margot. I have a feeling the Shadow's being invited to walk into a trap.
Sit tight, ladies and gentlemen. The Shadow still has plenty of thrills coming.
Shadow knows that there's hardly a driver who has not experienced that sickening, paralyzing, pit-of-the-stomach feeling that comes when his car skids wildly over a wet, slippery highway.
Is it worth the risk, motorists? Especially when you can now get a tire that will stop you quicker, safer on wet roads than you've ever stopped before. A tire that will put real blowout protection between your car and the road. And this new Goodrich Safety Silvertown with the Lifesaver Tread Skid Protection and Golden Ply Blowout Protection costs nothing extra. It's one of the best safety investments you can make. So play safe. Equip your car with these life-saving Goodrich, spelled G-O-O-D-R-I-C-H, Goodrich Safety Silvertown tires before it's too late.
Did you notice that guy who cut in about 34 seconds ago sounded just like me? Wow, that was weird. From way back then.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing.
A voice, you have that most memorable voice, I guess.
Well, yeah, it was either that or maybe I can't quite see the board just yet. There's that.
Yeah, you thought that the organ crescendo was the end of that segment, but nay, nay.
Nay, nay. Yep. 15 minutes look like 16 minutes or vice versa. There's a little sun
something
right
like
in front
that.
Of my face, but it's going away.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you
we
go.
Were talking
there
in our go. Private chat about the blind beggars are writing to the other blind beggars on a wall with chalk in code. See, the code would be so nobody else could read it, but if you're blind, I don't know if you could read chalk on a wall.
It's Braille.
It's Braille
chalk. Yeah. Braille chalk.
Chalk.
They used to have that. They used to have that back in the 30s, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
Look it up. Google it.
I'll go Google it.
We'll
I'm
wait.
I'm thinking like chalk on a chalkboard, you know, and if you're blind, you go and you touch it, and all you're doing is smearing the chalk on the chalkboard, but maybe there's Braille chalk. Okay.
You know what?
Fox
brought up a great point in the chat, which I can barely read, but I can. He said this episode was like a comic book with an organ, and he loves it. And
uh-huh.
He's right.
He's
right.
Yeah. John,
and
boy.
That's Gar with the mouth organ. Yeah.
With the mouth organ.
Yep. Yeah. It's like a comic book with an organ, and anyone can enjoy it. It's all audio. Yep.
It's all
audio. I think what he meant, Gar, was that they leave the messages for him, the Shadow, to see.
Yes.
Oh.
But Google it. I think they did have
Braille chalk.
Braille chalk back in the 1930s.
Chalk,
yeah.
So wait, you would have to have a Braille.
You don't need that now because we have smartphones. Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah.
You don't need that now because we have smartphones. Yeah.
Look it up. I think it came
Braille
up.
Smartphones.
They probably have those. If not, they should.
I'm telling you.
They should.
No,
they had the Braille Playboy,
Actually, smartphones can go by voice activation, so they no longer need the Braille for that. You see?
There you go.
They're a tool that the blind use because it can be very helpful. It can actually count currency for them, tell people what the currency bills are. It can help guide them, give them step-by-step directions. It can even help them go into their closet and pick a wardrobe that won't look like my wardrobe on my TV show.
Yep. But I learned long ago
the blind
could tell change by feel. Do you know how you tell the difference between a dime and a penny?
A dime
has ridges on the edge, and a penny is smooth.
And so's a nickel, but it's bigger.
No, they're the
bigger,
well, yeah,
right.
But they're the same size. A penny and a dime are roughly the same size.
Oh.
A nickel is obviously larger and heavier. A quarter is much larger and heavier, but a dime has little ridges around the rim. And a penny.
Then why is a quarter got ridges on it? So it's not mixed up with a silver dollar? I don't know.
No, silver dollars are big.
The Eisenhower dollars were big, but the other ones are really pretty close to the size of a quarter. You're right,
yes.
Star, on that.
But they also have ridges. Silver dollars have ridges.
They do.
I understand there's some potato chips that have ridges, too. But
yes,
Ruffles have ridges, yes.
Yes.
Ruffles have ridges.
The Ruffles have ridges because of blind people. We don't know this.
No.
Yeah, that way.
You don't want to mix up a Ruffle with a Lay's potato chip,
right,
so
because,
maybe so.
Right, because that way the blind can read the potato chips, make sure it's the right flavor.
Exactly.
By the way, if you are interested in historical things about the blind, we did a whole show on Helen Keller a few years ago now. Did we not, Dave?
you admit to it?
Yeah, why?
Did you get viewer mail from Dave? I don't know.
I don't remember that we did that, but I'm sure we did.
I thought we did a show about Helen Keller.
I'll agree to anything once.
Or with Helen Keller, maybe? There might be audio.
Dug her up. Posed her in a corner.
Not.
I don't know.
Did we not? Now I'm looking it up.
Stay there.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You know what we should do? What we should do while you're looking at, we should go to the exciting conclusion.
The
Shadow.
I can verify we did not do a show about Helen Keller, but now we're gonna again.
That you, Muddy?
Yeah, it's me. Where are you? How about some light?
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
Hey, what's the idea? We're sitting down here in the dark. Hey, what are you doing with that Tommy gun?
When the Shadow comes here looking for Apple Mary, I'm going to spray this room with lead from floor to ceiling. It won't matter if I can't see him. I can't miss. Then our troubles will be over.
I put that message in the armory wall.
How long ago?
About an hour.
Then he'll be here soon. That guy moves fast from what I hear.
Hey, how are you going to know when the Shadow gets here? What if he don't talk or laugh?
He's got to open that door, ain't he? He can't walk through it. He ain't a ghost.
He comes as close to being a ghost as anything I ever went up against. How's he do it? How's he keep you from seeing him?
By hypnotism, whatever that is.
Yeah? I know a guy in a circus that could do that. Leastwise, he claimed he could.
Shut up. Go and get Apple Mary in here. She's in that back room.
Okay.
Hey, you. Apple Mary. Come on out here.
I'm coming. And don't think I'm scared of the scum of the earth like you two.
Pipe down.
What do you want with me?
Bring her over here and shove her into this chair.
You hide him. Come on.
Take your hands off me. You may be old and blind, but I take no guidance from scavengers.
Take that can away from her. She might get free with it.
Give me that stick.
I'll give it to you. Here. Take
it. Why, you she-devil.
Put her in that chair and hold her there. Get your knife.
Come on. Sit down there. Yeah, I got my knife.
Get it out. She tries and thing when the Shadow turns up, let her have it. Right between his shoulders.
Okay. If you know what's good for you, you'll sit still, Mary.
The Shadow. So you know he's after you. So there was a squealer at the meeting.
That was no squealer. It was me. And we're expecting your pal, the Shadow, most any time now. I put a little message from you on the armory wall, telling him to come here.
Yeah. Just wait till that door swings open. That's the only way you can get in or out.
If this Shadow guy's got a gun, starts blazing away, you'll get yours, Mary.
The Shadow doesn't need a gun.
Shut him up, Marty. I just heard the basement door close.
Hey, somebody's in the hall, Spike.
Shut up. Watch that old dame. She opens her mouth, but I have it.
Right. You got that Tommy gun ready?
Yeah.
Spike, he's here. The Shadow's here. Do something. Do something. Shoot him. Kill him.
I ain't sure if I'm going to be sure.
There is only one certainty in life.
What?
That is death.
It's him. Shoot Spike. Hey, Spike. Spike, you shot out the lights.
Yeah. Yeah. But I got him.
Yeah.
I got the Shadow. Come on. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, but what about Apple Mary?
We haven't got time to fuss with a blind dame. Now listen, Apple Mary. Get out and tell your friends we'll be seeing him. Tell him the Shadow's dead. Tell him if we have any more trouble making collections, I'll get what Singing Jim and the Shadow got. Tell him that for us. Come on, Marty, let's go.
Shadow dead. Who can we look to for help now?
You can still count on the Shadow, Apple Mary.
Oh, Shadow, they didn't kill you. Didn't they hit you?
No, Mary. I suspected a trap, so after I opened the door, I walked across the room and stood behind them.
But your voice, it came from near the door.
Ventriloquism. A simple trick of projecting the voice. But that doesn't matter now. Get out of here and hurry to Lame Bill's. Gather your friends together and wait there for word from me. The Shadow.
Margo.
Oh, there you are, Lamont. I was beginning to get worried. Half hour's almost up. What happened?
I'll tell you later. Quick, start the car. Those two men hurrying down the street.
That tall one and the short, heavy one?
Yes, follow them, but be careful. Don't get too close.
Who are they? Where are they going?
They murdered Singing Jim. They tried to murder the Shadow. We'll find out where they go, Margo, and then I'll telephone Commissioner Weston to surround the place.
The Shadow left word with Apple Mary. She wants us at Dugan's Pool Hall.
Dugan's Pool Hall. The Shadow's tracked down Spike and Marty.
Apple Mary and Lame Bill want us at Dugan's Pool Hall. Hey, Limpy, Dugan's Pool Hall right away. Mary said so.
What's the matter with you, Marty? They thought you could play pool. You missed that shot a mile.
I can't keep my mind on the game. Can't stop thinking about
it. Down. Everything's okay, I tell you. I got the Shadow. I couldn't have missed. You heard him fall, didn't you?
Yeah, but
nothing. We got nothing to worry about, I tell you. The Shadow's out of the way, and we got a fix with Dugan for an alibi. We've been here all even. See? Here comes Dugan now.
Hey, Spike. Marty, there's something going on around here I don't like. I know I told you I'd frame an alibi for you, but I don't want no trouble. I don't want my place closed up.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter with you? What's going on?
It's that bunch you've been working your new racket on. Apple Mary, Lame Bill, Limpy, the whole lot of them.
What? Where are they?
They're out in the street, 20 or 30 of them. And more coming every minute.
Yeah, who tipped them up when we was here? Is this a double cross,
no,
Dugan?
No. Honest. Somebody must have tailed you here. Listen to him.
Hey, Spike, they're after us. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, maybe we better. They tear us to pieces if they got their hands on us.
You guys better slip out that back door there. It leads into the alley. The crowd may be lame and blind, but I don't give much for your chances if they get hold of you.
Come on, Spike, let's go, will you?
Yeah, okay, let's scram. We'll get these monkeys tomorrow, one by one. I'll teach them to try to gang up on us. Come on, Marty, come on.
First, Spike, wait. Look down the alley there.
Holy cat. Cops?
Yeah.
Half a dozen of them.
We can't go that way, Spike. They're laying for us. Hey, Dugan, ain't there any other way out of this joint?
How about upstairs and over the roof?
No, that door to the hall's been nailed up for years. It's either the alley or the front way.
Hey, Spike, that bunch out front sound like they're coming in.
Yeah, we're caught like a couple of rats in a trap.
What are you going to do, Spike?
Shadow. Spike, you hear that? It's a Shadow. You didn't get him. He ain't dead.
No. No, you will not go to the electric chair for the murder of the Shadow.
Well, so you got away. Well, then the cops haven't got anything on us now. Come on, Marty, we'll go out through the alley. Let the cops pick us up. They can't hold us more than 24 hours.
Wait. You've forgotten the murder of Singing Jim.
Well, you can't pin that on us. Well, the door's locked.
Yeah. And the key's gone, Spike.
Yes. I locked that door, Spike. I have the key. But the front door is unlocked. You can walk out that door. Singing Jim's friends are out there waiting for you.
Spike, what are we going to do?
They are the lame and the halt and the blind, but there's strength in their numbers. The strength of a long-suffering fury that means your death. If they get their hands on you...
What do you want, Shadow? What's your game?
I want your confession to the murder of Singing Jim.
Hey. Yeah? If we confess, will you keep that mob away from us?
I'm not confessing to anything. I'm not writing myself a one-way ticket to the death house.
Take your choice. A chance before a legal jury or that mob. Quick.
Stop him! Stop him, Shadow! I'll confess. I'll tell you. Yeah, we killed Singing Jim. It was Spike. He slugged him in that alley, yeah.
Ah, you dirty squealer.
Don't move, Spike. One false move.
him if they're going to...
These tormented people will kill you. Mary! Lame Bill! Wait! Wait, everybody! This is your last chance. There's a blackboard behind you, Spike. There's a piece of chalk. Write your confession to the murder of Singing Jim and sign it. Write what I dictate to you.
You win, Shadow.
We, Spike Grogan and Marty Nelson.
We, Spike Grogan.
Confess.
Marty Nelson.
That on Tuesday night at 5 o'clock.
Confess. That on Tuesday
we
night.
We did willfully beat Singing Jim
we
to
did
death.
Willfully beat.
With a blackjack.
Singing Jim to death. With a blackjack.
Sign it. Now you, Marty.
Okay.
There. Now watch, Shadow.
Walk to that back door. Open it. Call to the police in the alley. Tell them to come and get you.
But it's locked. You locked it and took the key.
I unlocked it again. Go with Spike Grogan, Marty. Beyond that door, a blindfolded woman with a sword in one hand and finely balanced scales in the other waits for you. You've mocked her long enough, but she is patient because her name is Justice. And her revenge for your mockery will be death.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
Sometimes so are the fringe benefits.
But they're on the fringe.
Yes.
Yes.
Here you go with a nice episode of The Shadow.
They're always good with Orson, aren't they?
Nice for who? That was bad all over.
I enjoyed it.
Well, it wasn't so good for Singing Jim, but, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's going to get off pretty easy.
Candy Apple Mary, or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Um, You know, yeah, someone said the death house might hurt less, but the death house, okay, when I was a little kid in the late 60s, I remember there was like a news report about someone that was at the death house and they were going down. The heck was that? Okay, anyway. Back in the 60s and 70s, early 70s, there's still death houses had this. They would hang you. They could shoot you. They could gas you. Or mm-hmm. they could use electricity. So I don't know if the mob might not be quicker. I don't know. But
It might not.
It might not, yeah. You know, especially
depending on the mob.
Missing. Yeah, right. But we did. There is a moral to all this.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to be killed, I want a professional to do it, right? Okay, here we go.
You want a professional?
Go finally. Theory House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Never bring a racket to a cane fight. That wrote itself. It really did.
I can see
never
that.
Never bring a racket to a cane fight. Yeah.
Thank you, Big Chuck, wherever you are. Parma, I think.
Uh-huh.
Parma. Did I say
Parma.
That out loud?
I don't. Parma. I said it. Go ahead. Ring. Let's hear a polka. There we go.
Since we got an early start, we can just play this about six times in a row.
Yeah, sure. I can say it over and over again.
There you go. I just want to know what a quiche really is.
It's a sausage.
I believe it's
it's a sausage.
A bakery delicacy, isn't it?
No,
like
it's
a donut?
Sausage.
The sausage.
No, it's a sausage.
No, that's a knish. You're thinking of a knish. That's different. That's a pastry, a knish.
Oh, okay. I would lean more towards a pastry than a sausage.
Yeah, it's a sausage. Quiche. K-A-S-H-K is a sausage, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Who knew?
So somebody
Who
stole
knew?
The sausage. Somebody stole
yep.
the sausage.
Oh,
and they had nothing
that
to go with it.
That doesn't sound good, Dave.
Yeah.
No.
You know what? There's an answer to that, but we can't use that on the radio. But
Yeah, that too.
Fogsbane says, yes, sausage. He thinks so, too, and I'd take his word over any of the three of us.
I got to admit, not too much Polish going on with this Scots guy.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
more Scot than not.
Fogsbane is a smart guy. The only thing that would make him smarter is not hanging around us. But other than that, he's a very smart guy.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only question mark we have.
Yeah.
But we do have a lot of time for a lot of radio, and that's good. As we
that's
more
good,
see,
we got a song I want to sneak in here tonight too. So,
go ahead,
keep rolling along.
Mm.
Just waiting for the polka to end there.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, do we want to do Sounds of Darkness, or do we want to jump right into Inner Sanctum?
Why would you Sounds of Darkness? That's kind of a cool story, especially if you love jazz music. Fresh out of South Africa. They called it two seasons. Actually, it was two different runs. The first season was only 28 episodes, broadcast between July 1967 and February 1968 on Friday evenings. The second and more successful season was 1969 until September 1974. So I'd really call that a series, not a season. That was on Tuesday evening. It had three writers, Brian O'Shaughnessy, or if you're from Ireland, Brian O'Shaughnessy.
Yes.
Multi episodes. He also acted in many episodes, which is cool because this is stories written in South Africa about being an American FBI agent in New York.
Perfect.
Blind.
What a stretch.
Yeah, now that's some writing right there.
But I did pick this because this is the very first episode of the very first series. So this is the one that kind of sets up what the whole series is going to be like.
Yep, and it's called Traitor Beware. And do we have an exact date for this one?
I do. Yeah, sure you do. July 7th, 1967.
Yeah.
Not bad, Johnny, not bad. Four through the heart, two through the shoulder. Well, you better go up and see Harris now. I'll phone this result through to him in the meantime.
What's this all about, anyway?
Miss Bridges, I don't know. I just work for the FBI. They don't let me in what's going on. Me, I'm just a small arms instructor, that's all. The big boss will tell you what it's all about.
Oh, well, thanks and goodbye.
Goodbye. Good luck, Johnny. I think you're going to need it.
Goodyear presents The Sounds of Darkness. Good evening. The Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, makers of passenger, truck, and tractor tires for every requirement in South Africa's farming, commerce, and industry, bring you Lee Masters, the blind detective who challenges the sounds of darkness. Sons of Darkness, you will hear Tony Jay as Lee Masters, James White as Johnny Bridges, and Elaine Lee as Samantha Darlington. Others in the cast are Erica Rogers, Eric Egan, Bruce Anderson, George Carellin, and Hugh Russ. Now, let's join the world of Lee Masters in tonight's Sons of Darkness. Traitors, beware.
Sure, Mr. Harris, I've heard of Lee Masters. Who hasn't? The guy's a legend.
That's right. I want you to work with him, Johnny.
Work with him? Look, I know the guy was one of the greatest agents the FBI ever had, but he's...
That's right. He's blind. You're going to be his eyes.
Mr. Bridges. I'm Samantha Darlington.
That's some name. They call you Darling for short?
No, they call me Sam. I'm Lee Masters' secretary. Are you on the team?
I know. He didn't say much.
What do you know about him?
I know he was an agent for nearly 30 years. And he got blinded in a gunfight. Wounded in the head or something. He retired. Now, 3 years later, all of a sudden he's back. What for? What can a blind man do?
With or without his sight, Lee Masters is a great detective. Probably the greatest. In a way, he's like you, a rebel. He hates crime, though. He persuaded the chief that Bureau still needed him. And he needs to work. Oh, not for money, I don't mean. To him, the Bureau is his life. The one thing he hasn't got, the only thing, is his sight. That's why he needs you. Not just any guy, you. He's picked somebody that should compliment him. Together, you should be an unbeatable team.
That sounds crazy. A blind detective.
I never forget a thing, Johnny. Not a thing. I know everything about every crook who ever got booked.
I guess you call it a photographic memory. But it's more than a complete dossier. Sounds. This is a world that the average man is only half aware of. When a man can see, he gets lazy to use his nose, his ears, his sense of touch. And you learn all the time. You don't have to see somebody to know they're unhappy. Listen to the way they walk, the way they breathe. Well, what do you say? Are you in?
I'm in.
Well, he'll do for me. The $64 question seems to be, will I do for him?
But you think it's worth a try?
Sure. All right. Anyway, sit down. First assignment. Remember Max Lehman? Max Lehman. Spent 2 years in Belsen concentration camp under the Nazis. Came to the States almost straight after the war. Brilliant physicist. After intensive security clearance, worked with our team on nuclear research. Charged with treason, 1954. Acquitted and discharged as innocent. But the public weren't convinced. Disgraced. Dropped right out of the public eye. That's all I know.
That's about all there is to know. Except that 2 days ago, his body was found at the side of the road, about 3 miles along the main highway heading west out of New York.
Uh-huh.
He'd been beheaded. Very professional job.
Sort of like an official execution, huh?
Exactly. That's not all, though. Somebody had carved a nice little message on his chest with a knife.
Hmm. Nice boys. What did it say?
It said, "Traitors, beware."
Well, short and sweet. Where's the body now?
It's in the police morgue, New York.
Johnny and I will go and have a look at it. But what's so important about this Lehman guy, anyway?
We kept tabs on him after the trial. He left the States and spent a couple of years in Russia. Came back here in 57. We were positive, of course, that now he really was going to work as an agent for the other side. He didn't take a deep breath without us knowing about it. But he did nothing wrong. Went from job to job. When he was killed, he was a medical representative. Harry Fisk was in charge of the whole thing. I want to know what Lehman was doing, why he was labeled traitor, and by whom, and I want to know what's happened to Harry Fisk.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were busy. Well, by all that's holy, Lee Masters.
Lieutenant James.
Well.
Must be 7 years. How are you, Jimmy? Still on narcotics squad?
Yep. Oh, but it's Captain now.
Oh, pardon me. Well, how's things?
Oh, busy, too busy. Fast as we pull in one dope peddler, another one takes his place.
Yeah, yeah.
Nationwide ring somewhere. Anyway, that's my problem. You probably got your own. How long are you going to be, Mr. Harris?
Oh, I'm finished, Jimmy. So long, Mr. Harris.
So long.
So long, Jimmy.
So long, Lee.
See you around. Better now?
Yeah, that hit the top. I suppose you get used to seeing morgues and bodies like that.
Well, I didn't see it. But we learned quite a bit down there.
You did?
Sure. Now, Lehman's body hasn't been cleaned up at all. That's just the way it was found. I felt the hit. And I felt that carving, "Traitors Beware," on his chest. You saw them both, Johnny. Did you get anything?
Only what I told you. The instruments used must have...
Nothing else. Just what you told me while we were down in the morgue.
Yeah, that's all. Well, what else was there?
First of all, the carving was done while the guy was still alive. And secondly, when the head was severed from the body, the guy was already dead. I had a word with Doc Carter, the pathologist at the Central Precinct, and he agrees with me. He's also going to do an autopsy to determine what the cause of death was.
And how did you work that out?
By the blood, Johnny boy. The blood on the head and neck.
Now, wait a minute. There wasn't any blood.
That's right. The heart must have stopped pumping quite some time before the beheading took place.
Yeah, I see. Hey, but wait a minute. You said he was alive when the carving was done on his chest?
That's right.
There was no blood there either.
No, there wasn't. But there had been. It had been cleaned off. Probably to make reading the message easier.
I'm sorry, that's going too far, Lee. I don't see how you could know that.
That's why I asked the old guy in the morgue if they used any chemicals down there to preserve the bodies. You see, I smelt ether, and it was strongest around the chest. The carver had used ether to clean off the blood.
So maybe they used the same trick and cleaned the head and neck.
No, there was no smell there. I checked.
Well, I'll be...
That tells us something else, too. Ether isn't something you find in every home, you know. You'd think the guy would have used soap and water. Now this, coupled with one or two other things, makes it more than likely that the killer was a medical man of sorts, and that surgical instruments were handy.
Like a scalpel, you mean?
Good boy. Well, now I think I'd like to have a word with the late Mr. Lehman's daughter, the one who made the identification. You get her address?
Yeah, I got it. It's here somewhere. Say, that's funny.
What?
Her name is Elsa Lehman, and she lives in. Dr. Elsa Lehman, and she works at the Northside Hospital as an intern.
Johnny.
Yeah?
Slow down.
Okay.
Pull over to the curb, and keep your eyes on the car behind us.
I didn't notice any car.
Yeah, he's been on our tail for the last 10 minutes. Could be coincidence. Anybody in their right senses wouldn't use a car like that for tailing. Loud exhaust, souped-up 8-cylinder engine. Probably a foreign make from the way it sounds.
That's right, it is. How did you know?
No two makes of a car sound exactly the same. When you get down to it, there's even a slight difference between two cars of the same model and year. Anyway, pull over and stop. See what he does.
Okay.
Well, he's going past, isn't he?
Yeah, there he goes.
How many in the car? What do they look like?
Small, bald-headed guy driving. Girl next to him. Good-looking chick. She's dark-haired. That's all I could notice.
Well, you'll have to train yourself to react quicker, son.
Hey, wait a second. That went to the curb, too, about 50, 60 yards ahead.
Interesting. All right, so we find out who they are. Now look, drive slowly past them. And this time I want a good description from you. Then get out of town on the main road headed west. Dr. Lehman, this is Mr. Bridges. My name is Masters. We're from the FBI. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Sure. Go ahead.
Sit down, Miss Lehman.
Thanks.
When was the last occasion on which you saw your father? Before you were called in to identify his body, I mean.
He telephoned me in 1957, just after he arrived back here. When he first told me who was speaking, I almost cried with happiness.
And you never saw or heard of him from then until you identified his body?
Not a word.
I'm sure this is painful for you, Doctor, but you appear to have an excellent memory. Can you recall anything about that telephone conversation that seemed strange at the time?
I don't think so.
Did you recognize his voice straight away?
Well, no, I didn't come to think of it. But it was over the telephone. I mean, it was long distance.
Oh, sure. But all the same, it's rather strange.
If you don't mind, Mr. Masters, I must get back to work.
One last question. Who was the bald-headed fellow you were sitting in a car with about 45 minutes ago? You parked in 45th Street.
I'm afraid you're mistaken, Mr. Masters. I haven't left the hospital since 6 o'clock this morning. And there must be at least 24 doctors and nurses who can verify that.
are listening to Traitors Beware, tonight's Sons of Darkness, brought to you by Goodyear, the greatest name in rubber.
Feels so groovy.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of fun for me because I hear this one was sponsored, of course, by Goodyear, the one before that, Goodrich. And this was the rubber headquarters of the world at one point, where Akron, Ohio, where we had that. And we also had General Tire. And over in Barberton, they had Mohawk rubber and tires. So, you know, this is kind of home week for me with all these corporate rubber companies sponsoring these shows.
Yep, that is definitely a part of Northeast Ohio that was booming for a while, making all kinds of tires. Goodyear's down there, Goodrich. You guys have everybody.
We had, at one point we did. Here we go. I think Gar's on now.
Gar,
are you there? Yes, he is.
Damn.
Oh, you didn't tell me you'd planned that.
he cracked the security codes. Damn it.
Well, you only have two numbers there. It's not a very extensive combination. You got to get more numbers than that.
Yeah. So, Dave, this is a very interesting tale from South Africa.
It is. And
we just lost Gar.
We lost Gar. I think it's probably the good old because I got disconnected twice off of the Google Voice as well. There he is. He's back again. So
I didn't crack the code for long, apparently. As soon as you said that, it was like Zoom.
Hey,
that
my software goes fast, buddy. Don't play games here.
I tell you.
Hey,
great.
I didn't forget what we were talking about. Now, Gar came back, and this everything left my head.
Oh, these South African tales from.
South African tales. Yeah, I was gonna. I mentioned to you guys before we went on. I have one of my volunteers, who is originally from South Africa. He's worked up here for, I think it was for Goodyear for years and years. He's retired, but he does for them still. And I want to get him on air, or at least on recording, talking about the days of Springbok Radio, because they did not have television in South Africa until the early 1970s. So even if he is not been retired that long, would have been there as a ute growing up and should remember something about the radio programs.
Yeah. That was something I'm amazed at this.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, the Sounds of Darkness, that it lasted 6 years, and the entire premise is a blind detective. 6 years worth of blind detective stories.
Hey, Daredevil lasted longer than that.
Daredevil's still going strong, best of my knowledge.
Yes.
But I haven't kept up with the comics like right now, so I could have killed them off six times over. Why am I hearing an echo? Hello. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
If you're not hearing it, then I won't mention it anymore.
I'm hearing it.
It's all in my head.
What do you mean?
There's nothing in there.
Yeah, I know. Well, I typically don't do this, but for the radio show, I'm using earphones. So it's not a reverberation from speakers. So I don't know what that is.
Brother, we got a lot of radio. We're going to move along.
We got a whole lot of radio. 6 years worth of this blind detective.
We got to wrap up Sound of Darkness.
Darkness.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. More
we'll
jazz.
Be back after this.
Come in. You making any progress with this Lehman case, Lee?
Oh, sure. Tell me, is Harry Fisk married?
No, I don't think so, Lee.
Well, can you find out for me, please?
Sure.
Look, I'll be in my office. Let me know when you've checked, will you?
Master's office. Oh, yeah, Mr. Harris. Yeah, I'll tell him. Thanks. Bye.
About Harry Fisk?
Yeah, Chief. Harry Fisk is 34 years old, not married.
Have you checked on that car registration number for us?
Uh-huh. Here you are. Registered owner-driven Martin Schwecker. I've got the address here.
Good. You sure that was the number of that car, the one with Elsa Lehman and the bald guy in it?
Positively.
And you're sure that the girl was Dr. Lehman?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's get round there.
Right, I'll pick you up outside.
All right, Sam. I want you to check on Mr. Schwecker for us.
Right.
Get on to immigration. Find out when he came into the States, where he came from, anything you can pick up. Meantime, we're going to give Lehman's flat a thorough going over.
Something. Maybe some kind of appointment list. Monday, 18th, JUS2K. Thursday, 4AUS50K. Tuesday, 6SES10K. Sunday, 9OCS5K.
Is that a lot?
Yeah, so. A little bit. Up top here it says 101-14-1145. That's everything. Doesn't make any sense, does it?
Maybe not. Give me a description of the room again.
Okay, here we go. Cane table and four cane chairs. Radiogram, French windows to the balcony.
Hold it. Has he got any records for that phonograph?
Didn't notice. Hang on, I'll check.
101-14-1145.
Oh, classical. Brahms, Beethoven, Mozart. Hey, wait a minute. Here's one. Tomorrow is a yesterday to come. A sunny day with sunny day.
Who's Sunny Day?
Top of the Pops.
Bring that one with you. Let's get back to the office.
Martin, I'm not happy about this Lee Masters man. I smell trouble.
Please, Elsa, what can he do? He's old, he's blind.
And he's dangerous. Where does he live?
I could find out. Without that young man, he is powerless.
Who can be more helpless than a blind man alone? Even you should be able to handle that, Martin. See to it tonight.
You're a strange girl, Sam.
I smell a line. Don't. This is strictly business.
I know you think Lee Masters is some kind of Superman, but just what he thinks we're going to find out here, I just can't guess.
What time are you supposed to phone me?
11:30. I'm calling something now.
Phone's over there. I'll order us another drink while you're away.
Tony, stop for me. I have a hunch this thing is going to break tonight.
Just as you say, it's your party.
You better answer it. Be careful what you say. This gun could make an awful mess.
Lee Masters here.
The Fitz just came in with Elsa Lehman. How about that?
Uh-huh.
What do I do?
Yeah, okay.
Look, what is this? What do I do?
Yeah, I understand. I'll call you back.
What is this? Are you in trouble?
Maybe.
Should I come over there and leave Sam to watch these two?
Yeah. Goodbye.
Who was that?
My boyfriend. He always rings me this time of night.
Wise guy. You're too smart to live, Masters.
Yeah. One thing I don't know, Shrekker. Where did you first meet Lehman? Was it in Belsum?
As a matter of fact, it was. He was a traitor even then. He used to squeal to the Nazis for extra privileges.
So it was you that carved him up, eh, Dr. Shrekker? That was one piece I couldn't figure.
Yes, it was. How did you get on to us?
Oh, I knew Lehman wasn't for real way back. When I first heard that his daughter didn't recognize his voice, as a matter of fact. That kind of switch is the oldest trick in the business. Rub out a guy and then send an agent in his place. He'd obviously been sent over here with instructions from the big guys to wait until the heat was off before he started operating. But Harris didn't take the heat off. Harry Fisk had been watching Lehman for 9 years. In the meantime, Lehman... What was his real name, by the way?
Gaber. Max Gaber.
Anyway, Gaber, Lehman, set himself up as a medical representative. A clever cover. But he didn't reckon on the long finger of coincidence. The coincidence that brought him up against the lady who was supposed to be his daughter. Dr. Elsa Lehman, otherwise joint head with yourself of a nationwide dope peddling ring. One that's been worrying my friend, Captain James, for some time. By the way, Shrekker, why aren't you at the get-together?
How do you know about that? You're bluffing, Masters.
Really? A little nightclub down in the basement of 101 14th Street? That's a front, of course. No doubt in the best traditions, you have a little room tucked away in the back. There's only one little unknown quantity. Harry Fisk. And I only hope for his sake that he's playing this straight. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's a crooked FBI agent. Johnny, I'm fine. Better check on Dr. Shrekker.
Let me put the lights on. I can't see a thing.
Hang on a minute. That's better.
What happened?
Did I get Shrekker in the shoulder?
Yeah, you did. Looks like you shattered the clavicle. Well, what's been happening here?
He's not the first gunman I've ever entertained, Johnny. I had an idea they'd come for me. That's why I arranged for the fixture to be played on my home ground. See this switch under the desk here? In the dark, I'm the boss. I keep a .22 down here in the bottom drawer. With the lights out, Shrekker was blind, you see. That put me one up. His shots gave away his position. I aimed for his shoulder.
And I thought I was coming to rescue you.
Everybody underestimates me. Something for you to remember, Johnny. All cats are the same color in the dark.
Makes the party complete. Are you happy?
Well, you can say that again. That's the mob that's been worrying me for some time. How did you get onto him, Lee?
It was quite easy. Once we searched Lehman's apartment, Johnny and I found that piece of paper. There were a lot of dates and numbers, like 50K. I figured that for 50,000. Money Lehman was being paid, you see. And then, right at the top of the paper was written 10114-1145. Oh, that was easy. 101 14th Street at 11:45 p.m. That's when you broke up the little party, Jimmy. I hate explanations. Just listen to this record. Another thing I found in Lehman's apartment. If the conversation between him, or should I say Gaber, and the two heads of the ring, Elsa Lehman and Martin Schrecker. Okay, Johnny, put it on.
So you're the one that's supposed to be my father.
Never mind that. It's Doc Money.
What makes you think you'll be here, sir?
I know you two are running a dope ring, using this hospital as a front. I'm ashamed of you, daughter dear.
What do you want?
A cut, of course.
That's all we need. Switch it up, Johnny. Well, that wraps it up, I think. There's your proof, Jimmy, if you need it.
I don't. They confessed.
And Lehman? Probably died in Russia 10 years ago. The body we found was one Max Gaber. He was an agent biding his time till the heat was off before he started operating. As things worked out, he never did get started.
What about Harry Fisk?
Well, he's clean. After all, there's no law against an FBI agent falling in love. It's his own problem if he falls in love with a crook.
So ends tonight's Sounds of Darkness, presented for your entertainment by the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, makers of world-famous passenger tires, truck, and tractor tires for every requirement in South Africa's farming, commerce, and industry. Join us next Friday and every Friday night at 9:30 when Goodyear will again present the blind detective Lee Masters in The Sounds of Darkness.
Eerie House Radio is not fooling around. We're getting right to Gar's moral of the story.
When solving a mystery, oftentimes exotic clues lead to exotic suspects.
I'm clicking my fingers, man. I'm like in the coffee shop.
Are you in the helicopter? Are we doing the helicopter again?
No,
this week?
We're not doing the helicopter. No,
no helicopters.
No.
No, we're not going to talk about Moro or anything like that.
What's that tapping sound?
That's me. I'm snapping my fingers, man.
He's snapping his fingers, man.
It sounded like you were in a helicopter.
No, I'm a beatnik, man. I'm snapping approval like they used to do in the coffee shops in the 60s.
See? That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
It really sounded like you were in a helicopter. Anyway. That doesn't sound like a helicopter.
No,
really, that sounds more like a helicopter to me. That's okay.
Get in the chopper.
Get in the chopper. We're high above the city tonight. Anyway.
All right.
Whole lot of radio.
We have one more tale tonight. Yes, we do.
We have one more tale, and I think we could squeeze in a nice song as well. This is Inner Sanctum, right?
This is Inner Sanctum.
Yes. Inner Sanctum.
Yes, it is.
From
The Dead Walk at Night. And it's from?
September 20, 1942, supposedly.
According to somebody.
I don't know.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Creaking door. This is your host to welcome you again into the Inner Sanctum. Come in. Come on in. No, please don't stand on ceremony. We're all informal here. No ties, no collars. In some cases, no hair.
Now, that doesn't mean we're complete boors, though. We study our Emily ghosts faithfully. You wouldn't catch one of us eating his cheese with a knife. Oh, no. We've been caught with knives before. Sowing, you might say, our wild throats. Well, the preliminaries are over, beginning right now. Things are going to happen. So sit up, draw a deep breath, and lend us an ear. We've got to get our teeth into something. Listen now to the voice of Donald Bucher as Danny Williams, as he tells the weird story of the dead walk at night.
I decided to kill him. We were in his room in the big house where we lived together. I'd been living with him since I was 14 years old. For 10 years, I'd been his companion, his nurse, his servant, his slave. On the night I was going to kill him, I slipped a length of strong cord into my dinner jacket. He was totally blind. Had been for 30 years. Yet, strangely enough, he could see. He could see with his uncanny, highly developed sense of hearing. And with that cane of his, that cane that was everlastingly tapping.
The wind's blowing up tonight. It'll be getting cold soon.
Yes.
And then, all the servants gone.
This is their night off.
You going out again tonight?
Yes.
With Martha?
Yes, with Martha.
Hmm. Will you pour me some brandy?
Yes, Morgan. I poured out the drink. In my pocket, I felt the cord, and as I handed the drink to him, I took it out and walked behind him. Now, this was the time. Slip the cord around his neck. Twisted. It would be over soon. He sat there, holding the glass in one hand. I raised the cord over his head. All I had to do was drop it over his neck.
Why are you standing behind me?
Well, how did you know?
I heard you walk there. Why, Danny?
I just wanted to look out of the window. One quick move, it would be over. But I didn't want to kill him, so I'd make a clean breast of it and give him a chance.
Well, Dan, how long are you going to stand there?
Morgan, there's something I want to speak to you about.
Well, what is it, my boy?
I want to marry Martha.
I thought that was on your mind.
But I need $10,000, Morgan. Will you give it to me? What are you laughing at?
You. I was just waiting to see how much you'd ask for. You lied your way in pretty deeply this time, didn't you, Danny?
What are you talking about?
I saw what was coming. While you were in town, we had a very interesting little talk.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. She told me that her father's worried about her marrying a fortune hunter. Seems he's a very wealthy man.
Yes, that's right.
And it seems that he won't give Martha any money when she marries unless her husband is a man of some means himself. It also seems that you lied to her. You told her you're wealthy. Why?
Did you tell her the truth?
No. You always were an incorrigible liar.
Morgan, she got the impression that I had some money because I lived in this house.
And now you have to live up to that impression so you can marry her.
But you'll give me the money, won't you?
Why'd you lie to her?
Well, I did it without thinking. I wanted to tell her the truth, but I couldn't. I was afraid that if she found out that I'd lied, she'd hate me. Morgan, are you going to give me the money?
Danny, I'm very fond of you. I took you in to live with me when you were a poor, penniless guttersnipe. I educated and taught you to live like a gentleman. I even named you sole beneficiary of my estate.
But that's why I'm asking you for the money now. If you're going to leave me all of it, why don't you give me a little of it now?
Because I don't want you to marry Martha.
Why not?
I don't think she's the girl for you.
You stupid, blind old fool.
Dan.
Martha's the finest girl I ever met. I won't have you talking about her like this.
You won't have a penny of my money to marry her.
You're doing this because you want me to stay with you.
Now, what are you talking about?
From the very first day I came here, it's been Danny do this, Danny do that. Danny, read to me. Danny, pour me some brandy. You've made me a servant and a slave.
How can you talk this way after all I've done for you?
Done for me? Did you ever teach me to work? Did you ever teach me to do anything except live in luxury when I didn't have a penny to my name? You made me someone who's of no earthly good to anything or anyone except you.
Well, what are you going to do about it? Leave?
No. I'm not going to leave, Morgan. You are.
What do you mean?
I'm going to kill you.
Don't be ridiculous, my boy. You'd probably make a bungling mess of it.
I don't think so. You see, I planned it very carefully.
Danny, if you think you can frighten me into giving you that money, you're quite mistaken.
I don't intend to frighten you. I intend to murder you.
You're not serious.
Yes, I am, Morgan.
Danny, you got up. I heard you.
Yes.
Now, don't lose your head. Perhaps we can come to some agreement.
It's too late for that. Don't think you can stall me and then turn me over to the police.
Danny, where are you?
You'll know in a minute, Morgan. When you feel something on your neck.
Oh! Now, let go of me.
It'll be over in a minute.
Let go of me, you idiot. Let go.
Not now, Morgan.
All right, Danny. I'll admit it. I wanted you to stay with me. I'm blind, old, alone, but I'll let you go. I'll give you the money you want. Only don't kill me.
It's too late now. I know you, and I don't trust your promises.
I'll give you anything you want. You hear anything. Now, please, Dad.
No, Morgan.
Oh, if I could only see. If I could only see.
I'm going to be merciful, Morgan. It'll only take a few seconds, and this cord will crush the life out of you. Out of the room and look down the long stairway.
Hello, darling.
Mother!
Shall I come up?
No, wait there. I'll come right down.
All right.
I rushed back into the room. My uncle was lying on the floor, the rope twisted about his neck, his face streaked with purple. I picked up the cane and began tapping on the floor. Then I placed the cane near to him. I went back to the door again and called. Good night, Morgan!
Uncle.
Oh, he's fine.
I heard him tapping around up there.
Yes, he likes to make a lot of noise with that cane of his. I think he gets a kick out of it.
Do you think it's safe to leave him alone here?
Safe? Well, of course. Look, shall we go dancing somewhere?
Mm-hmm. That's a swell idea.
Ooh, this is a good one. I love this Raymond. He is absolutely the best.
Yep, this is the first one, Raymond Edward Johnson, the very first of the Raymonds. There were only two. Paul McGrath did it much longer, but he did an admirable job too. But yeah, this was the very first one, the actual Raymond Edward Johnson.
He just has a way of carving up the words.
There you go. There you go. But yeah, an exciting, and the tales are just so, they're just so far out. And just wait till now that the uncle is dead, the blind uncle is dead, let's see where it goes from there. But yeah.
It has some taste of the Telltale Heart without a heart or ringtail,
I guess.
As I said in there somewhere.
No, but it's one of those guilty conscience stories of murder.
Yeah.
I found that in order for that to work, you really have to accept guilt. And if you're good with not doing that, you're gold.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, she'll be a much better psychopath if you can just shed the guilt.
Yeah.
We have courses. Sign up online on the Erie House website.
Yeah. Really? You know, that's good for psychopaths, but it's also some very well-adjusted people don't accept guilt. It depends on, you know, how you were raised, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think a little bit of guilt is good.
No. Just think if you were never taught about guilt. It'd be a fun world without, you know, that going on. I accept no blame. I accept no, that's your problem, not mine. You know?
And those people
my
tend to run.
My responsibility ends at my fingertips and my ends those, at my toes. Sorry.
Those people tend to run for office.
And win. Oh.
Whoa. Ow. Whoa.
Oh, sorry. I slammed it. My apologies. Hey. Sorry. I wasn't in a helicopter, but yeah, there we go. Anyway, now that we get our hearing back, sorry about that. That microphone's really strong, isn't it? I tell you, it's really doing good
it's so
stuff.
Strong it shuts down.
Yeah,
there probably is a whole lot of radio fogs, Bean.
there is. We should get
there
back
is.
To it.
We could. As we wrap up, Raymond hosting Inner Sanctum Mystery, The Dead Walk at Night.
Well, friends, do you think Uncle Morgan will stay dead?
Nah.
So you do. Well, that shows how much you know. On this program, the dead never stay that way. So get ready for the worst, because in the next few minutes, you're going to find corpses that walk in the dead of the night. Oh, yes. They do, all right. They do. Don't you worry. All right. Let's listen now to Donald Duke as Danny, as he finishes his story.
It was easy to lie to the police. When Martha told them that she heard my uncle tapping in his room, I was cleared of all suspicion. I suggested that the murder was committed by some thief who broke into the house to rob it after we had left. The police agreed. I received the inheritance. And Martha and I planned to go to California to be married. I had lied my way out and fooled everyone. Everyone. Except myself. I knew what I'd done. I couldn't forget it. I became nervous and morose. And then came that last night before Martha and I were to go away. I was alone in the house, preparing to close it.
Hello, Dan.
Oh, Martha. But it's so late, I didn't expect you.
I know, darling, but I was afraid to leave you alone in this huge old house.
I decided to come over.
Well, that's very sweet of you, darling, but there's nothing to worry about.
You can't fool me. I've noticed how you were behaving these last few days.
Have you?
Ever since your poor uncle was killed, you haven't been quite yourself.
Well, I suppose I have been a little upset. Oh, I'm glad you came, darling. Look, I can put you in the guest room next to my uncle's old room. That's the only one beside my own that hasn't been dismantled yet. Come on, I'll show you the way.
All right. When we get to California and we're married, you'll forget all this.
I hope so. What was that?
I didn't hear anything.
I thought I heard a noise.
I was right. This old house is affecting you.
Maybe. Maybe. You know, Martha, last night I thought I heard him tapping with his cane.
Did you?
Well, it was just my imagination, I guess.
I wonder. You know, darling, I had a rather strange dream about him.
You did?
I dreamed he came to me and told me he wasn't dead.
Well, that's a crazy idea.
Isn't it? Just suppose he wasn't dead.
Well, that's impossible. I saw him dead with a rope around his neck.
Did you? That's funny. I went with you to the morgue and I didn't see the rope. The police had removed it.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course they had. But I... Well, I saw those welts. It didn't take much imagination to see the rope.
Oh, my poor Danny. I'm afraid this has affected you more than you realize.
Here's your room, Martha.
Danny, you've been kind of cold and distant lately. You do love me, don't you, darling?
Of course, Martha.
There. Good night, Dad.
Good night. I was awakened that night from a tortured sleep by a familiar sound. The sound of my uncle's cane tapping on the floor above me. At first I thought I was dreaming, but then I heard it again. It seemed to be coming closer, to be taking a familiar course. Yes, I had heard it 1,000 times when he was alive. That same nervous, rhythmic tapping. It was coming down the stairs. Down the stairs. Cautiously. Carefully. It was on the landing now. Would it go down further or would it turn as it had done so often to my room? It came closer. Closer. It was coming to my room. There could be no doubt about that. It couldn't be alive and yet... It was knocking at the door. Every bit of courage I had, but I went to the door and opened it. There on the floor outside my door was my uncle's cane. A throb of cold, icy terror shook me. I ran back into the room and half insane with panic, I shouted, Martha!
Martha! Martha! Danny, what's the matter?
Martha, Martha, darling. I must be going out of my mind. I saw...
What did you see?
That cane. That cane that you have in your hand. Put it down.
I found it outside your door. I thought you'd misplaced it.
No. No, that's my uncle's cane. That's the one he always used.
But, Danny, there's no need to be so frightened of it. Why, you think it was going to hurt you the way you act.
Martha!
Here, you hold it.
No.
Danny, you're terrified. What's wrong? What's happened?
Martha, Martha, don't make me tell you. Don't.
But what are you afraid of?
The cane. Put it down. Throw it away.
The cane?
Throw it away.
You don't know what you're saying.
Oh, Martha. Why do you keep pointing it at me? Why?
Danny, you've got to tell me what's troubling you. I won't put it down until you tell me why you're afraid.
Martha, for heaven's sake.
You can trust me, Danny. I love you. Tell me what it is.
Martha.
What is it? No matter what it is, I'll always love you. Don't be afraid to tell me.
I killed him.
Your uncle?
Yes.
Why?
For the inheritance. I didn't want you to know that I didn't have a cent. I asked him for the money, begged him for it. He sat there in his chair telling me I couldn't have a cent. He wanted to keep me here with him. I wanted to marry you. That's why I murdered him, Martha, because I love you. Do you understand?
Yes.
Oh, Martha. Martha, I knew you would. You'll stand by me, won't you? Why are you smiling that way?
How much money did you inherit?
$200,000 in this house.
You'll transfer that money to me in the morning. When the house is sold, you'll turn over that money to me, too. If you don't, I'll tell the police what you just told me.
Martha, I don't understand.
I thought I was pretty clear.
Oh,
I see now. You think I'm too upset to manage the estate and you want to take care of it for me until we're married.
There isn't going to be any marriage.
No marriage?
No. Now that I can get the money without marrying you, there's no reason for me to tie myself down.
Why should you want the money? Your father's...
He's been dead for 17 years.
Marty, you told... You were lying to me.
Yes, but you were lying to me, so it comes out even. And stop cowering at this cane. There's nothing queer about it. I made that tapping noise tonight. I thought it would make you confess, and it did.
This is a joke. It's a monstrous joke.
I wouldn't think it was so funny if I were in your position. You know, the money isn't quite all. I can use you, Danny. I might need certain things done sometime. And if you'll remember that I can send you to the electric chair whenever I choose to, you'll do them.
I see. The slave merely changes masters. Where are you going?
Back to my room.
Oh, no, you're not.
Ben, let's go over.
I want to show you something, Martha. Something about this cane. You said there was nothing queer about it. Well, there is. Let me show you. You didn't know, did you, that if you press a button in the handle, the outer covering slips off and you have a sword in your hand.
A sword?
Yes. Look.
Yes.
See? It's a sharp sword, forged in Italy during the Renaissance to be used by men with less conscience than I about murder.
Dan, what are you going to do?
I think you know.
No, Dan. You can't.
Did you think I would give you that money after I murdered a man to get it?
I'll let you keep the money.
You think I believe you? I know liars.
I won't tell the police. I swear I won't. I'll do anything you say. I'll marry you.
You think I'd marry you after I found out that your love was a lie? Do you think I'd let you live when I know you have a secret that can enslave me?
No, Dan. Take that sword away. Don't do it. I love you.
Liar.
Dan, don't. Please. I beg you, I'll do anything you say. Don't.
It was then that I first began hearing in my mind that tapping, 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 that incessant tapping of the cane. When the police came, I told them everything. They asked only one question.
When did you hear this tapping in your mind?
After I killed him.
Well, you'll be all right after a good doctor treats you.
Perhaps.
Meanwhile, we'll do everything we can to find the person who killed your uncle and your sweetheart. I think it's the same man. He's probably some thief who thought he'd try a second time.
But I just told you, I'm the person you want.
Now, Danny, you don't think I believe that story for a minute, do you?
You don't believe it?
After the way I saw you cry when your uncle died. And you can't make me believe that sweet girl did the things you said. I know something about human nature, my boy. No, Danny, the shock of finding your sweetheart murdered so soon after your uncle's murder was too much for you. This whole confession was a lie.
For 20 years now, I've been in this cell at the state asylum waiting to die. I, who told the truth, because I wanted to die. For 20 years, I've been hearing that tapping day and night every second. For 20 years, I've been hearing my blind uncle call me as he used to when I was born.
Tonight's little story should teach you never to tell a lie. Lying leads to cheating, and cheating leads to murder. And murder leads to insanity, all of which are very bad habits to get into indeed. Well, friends, it's time once again to close that creaking door. Until next week at the same time, when we'll be back with a little hunk of horror. You'll be sure to listen, won't you? Until next week, then. Good night. Pleasant dreams. Through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Raymond, you are so, so good. Oh, I love it, Vince. He's the best host of Inner Sanctum and one of my probably favorite radio hosts. And heck, let's just stretch that out to horror hosts of all time.
There you go. Right up there. Right up there.
Bet you didn't know that. Bet you didn't know this. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Blackmailing a murderer is about as fun as playing tennis. With hand grenades.
Ooh, but you could tell if it's out though when you do that, you know.
Well, if it's a hand grenade and you're playing tennis, it could blow up at any time. You don't know. So if you know that someone has killed somebody else, I wouldn't mess with them. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
Go your merry way.
Yes.
You know. But instead, it's like, oh, I'm going to blackmail you. Wrong idea.
You killed somebody? I shall just blackmail you, yes. Wonder how that what could possibly go wrong there?
What could possibly go wrong?
A known killer. Let's see. Should I antagonize him or get the hell away?
The other thing I came up with was in reverse. I had to come up with a better perspective. I came up with, it's easier to tear down a reputation than to build one.
Ooh.
But
doesn't really fit because this guy had a reputation and it was so good that, you know, they put him away, but not for murder.
As they should.
as they should, yeah.
There you go. Dale, I got a wooden nickel to throw into the jukebox.
Let's do that.
Oh, Lutz, I'm just going to have me a little scroll party right now. All right, pop that wooden knickle into the kajuka box.
All right, here's a wooden knickle going into the jujuki box.
With a smooth edge.
What the hell is that song?
And now, once again, our master of ceremonies, in whom his sponsor has faith, his gags will need no charity, Bob Hope.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Your Radio Hall of Fame is a very special niche reserved for one of the most unusual and talented people in show business, Fred Lowery, the amazing whistler, who appears with Horace Heights Orchestra and on Horace's radio programs. Fred Lowery isn't just a man who whistles. He's a fine musical artist whom Fritz Kreisler has honored by especially arranging the Kreisler classic Caprice Viennois for whistling. Look it up. It's right, fellas. Over 1 million people have bought Fred's recorded version of the Indian Love Call, and in the few months since it's been issued, nearly 500,000 more people have purchased his version of Whispering. His amazing repertoire extends from Bach to Stravinsky's Firebird. So here he is, the man who is recognized as perhaps the greatest whistler who ever puckered a lip, Fred Lowery. Fred, after all that buildup, I'd like to check a little on your whistling ability. Now, remember, this is just a check. Now,
What is your favorite radio? Oh, you commercial boy. Say, you'll get your check in the morning. Now, who is your favorite radio personality? I said, who is your favorite radio personality? Bob Hope. In whistling, those H's always sound like C's. That'll be enough for your lip. Now, look, Fred, if I was walking down the street, Vine Street, and saw a couple of beautiful girls, what do you think I'd do? Suppose a character named Crosby and I saw them. Wolves in harmony, huh? Well, when we whistled, how would the girls respond, Fred? That's the younger girls. But before we get into any deeper, Fred, how about your showing our listeners just why you're considered the world's greatest whistler with your expert lip music presentation of Holiday for String?
That does it. Gar and I are going to have a whistle off. We're going to get a big box of saltines, stuff them in our faces, and see who can whistle.
Yep. Now, Bob Hope wasn't really helpful with this, his introduction. He called him the great Fred Lowry. He is actually known as the blind whistler, Fred Lowry. He was a blind professional whistler who recorded a number 9 Billboard chart hit with his version of The High and the Mighty. And he also whistled many years with Horace Heidt and Vincent Lopez in the 30s and 40s. He lost his eyesight at the age of 2 after being stricken with scarlet fever. And with an artificial right eye and limited vision in his left, he was legally blind, not totally blind, from the age of 8. He was educated in Texas School for the Blind. And he met a bird imitator and was encouraged by him. And look what he ended up doing with that. He lived until December 11th of 1984. So there you go. It just not only just extremely talented, but, the blind whistler, everyone. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. And, you know, you only get this kind of stuff on radio.
On the Early House Radio.
You may not find us on your TV.
because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you by, brought to you by,
chance I get to get in Stan Freeberg, I'm taking it.
Thank you, Stan.
Thank you, Stan.
Yep.
That's right next to Pakistan. Well, thank you, Stan.
Something like that. A very interesting show tonight. And what do we have tomorrow, Dale?
Nah, nothing. I'm staying home. Nah.
Yeah.
No, we're still trying to see it, man, with Escape and Suspense. Two more shows on show number 498.
No.
Oh, that's right.
Suspense is gone.
We switched that around. Wait a second.
We switched it out.
We got scrolling.
We got Escape with the H.G. Wells. Tale,
Sears
The Country
Radio
of the Blind,
yeah.
And at a Sears Radio Theater with another mountain climbing blind story. So it really is really going to be, I think it's going to be interesting. I kind of re-caught that Sears story last week, and it kept me on the edge of my seat, which is basically all I can sit right now is on the edge of the seat. It's a good story. I can't wait to share that one tomorrow night.
Yep, and that'll be at 6:30 Eastern, and right after that at 8 o'clock. Then what should people do, maybe thinking doubly?
If all things go well, Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul will return to live the broadcast on Twitch. So be there or not.
Twitch.
I have this twitch in my eye.
You know, you can get medication for a twitch, you know.
That's right.
You can.
And actually, I just found out just recently the Uncle Pete's Beta Max TV just updated with another new old episode of the Weirdness Really Bad Movie. If you want to see what our second show looked like, we've gotten 100 of them done now. This was the second one that we ever did. It was this particular one, and it had Leo Gorcey and Willem Gargan in it. And I forget who the gal's name was. She is also in a lot of B movies and a few serials, things like that. But yeah.
Ooh.
Have some fun with that. The very second show we ever did.
Wow. And as we get ready to close out show number 497, I want to prep you for our 500th show, 500th Eerie House, all music, all World War II era tunes. And Dave, thanks for that kind note, by the way.
I tell you what, gang, I just take a good look at the list, and the way Dale matched them all together, it's brilliant. It's just brilliant. So
well,
you'll be a great time.
You picked them so I could do it, and when I looked at them, I thought, what would Dave do?
Yeah, we took you Dale takes you basically from the beginning of World War II till victory. It's just really cool the way he put them together, and the way it's going to be really cool. Evening and a lot of great music.
I tried to theme up the little music sets just the way you theme up shows on for us, Dave. We're very grateful for all the work you put into grouping these together and making it kind of fun this way as we continue with more Tales of the Blind tomorrow night. That'll be at 6:30 Eastern. Any Weirdness Really Bad sightings real quick? Any more?
Just the Betamax, our regular sightings, and the Betamax TV on Roku.
You can always check out the WRBM Facebook page.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. If you missed the 100th show, it's right there on Facebook. You go to our videos. It's right there as well.
Yep. Occasional, they'll slip through here on the Eerie House page as well. They better.
Absolutely.
All right. Where's Vince hiding at? There we go. We'll see you tomorrow at 6:30.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Yeah, Bill Gargan, Gargans. I always think of those lobster things from Teenager from Outer Space.
Uh-huh.
It's just you and me, brother.
I don't, the Gargans. Were they bad teenagers? They were like bad teenagers?
And they were, all they were like little lobsters or little crayfish, you know, blown up. Teenagers from Outer Space. Remember the goofy, corny kid? And they had almost
it was a bunch of teenagers chasing another bunch of teenagers. And
No. These aliens were coming down, and he was a teenager and kind of rebellious. So he started getting sympathetic
but he was
to the Earth people.
Some other teenagers. There was some girl problems, and there was a party at a pool.
Yep.
Yeah,
they got vaporized.
So I'm kind of. Yeah, and he had a ray gun, I think.
Yeah,
right.
The bad guy did. The bad alien.
Yeah, the bad teenager.
Oh, God, this movie is
space guy.
But you know, I noticed some of the music they used in it, Gar, was in Night of the Living Dead. Some of the stock music.
Now that's kind of hilarious. Okay.
It's kind of like some of the early Corman flicks. A lot of them use the same music you hear in Little Shop in some of the other ones.
I guess it was free on the table or something. I don't know.
Well, that's what that jazz was like in the South African episode we played. It seemed like a cross between
darkness,
that kind of
sounds
music
of darkness,
and it seemed like a cross between that and the Spider-Man cartoons, which had really groovy music.
And doom, 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 doom. Yeah, there was a riff there where they repeated the riff six times. I listened.
Yeah.
It was trumpet and brrrm with drums, and then trumpet, and then drums, and then trumpet. They did it like five or six times. It's kind of odd. You know, I wanted to talk about this really quick. It's so unfortunate Dave wasn't able to hang around with us. I hope he's feeling better.
He's hurting.
Yeah. I've been having migraines and back pain. And Dave is now having back pain. It's not good.
I know.
But one thing about the blind that I think we can kind of come to agreement on is we have amazing things like Daredevil came out. I think Daredevil came out in the mid-60s, early 60s, 62, 63.
And you know
and
he was blind
the,
because he started off with that horrible yellow costume. So finally somebody told him, hey, dude, you got to get, and the red worked out really well.
I went to a Ray Charles concert once, and I know he didn't pick out that jacket. It had flames on the cuffs. It was like a royal purple velvet jacket, but it had flames on the cuffs. I was like, hey, Ray, did someone describe that to you? Probably not.
I don't know, but that sounds kind of cool,
you never
actually.
You know, maybe he was like, I want flames on my costume. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds cool.
I just, when he came out, it made me giggle. I laughed, and then I was like, Ray, what'd they do?
He was pimping. He was.
He could have been. He could have. This was towards the latter part of his life. He could have still been pimping. We don't know. You know, making bells ring. So Daredevil pops up and he's wearing more yellow than red, a very awkward color scheme. And then later they pushed him all the way over to solid red. Which is
I like the red because it was they inked it so it was like a dark red. It wasn't like a bright Spider-Man or Superman red. It was like
he could meld into a shadow if he needed to.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I just had a theory, and I know you will have noticed this. I think Yellow doesn't work for costumes, at least for Marvel, all right? They tried it on Daredevil. Uh-uh.
They
X-Men were predominantly yellow. Uh-uh. Wolverine, when he first came out, was wearing yellow. Uh-uh.
Had rib yellows. Yeah, they kind of... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he looked like a bumblebee, kind of, you know?
Yeah. Which is really
bumblebee
bad.
Man.
He was the most dangerous bumblebee person ever.
he certainly, once he either got rid of a costume altogether or upgraded, he was definitely far more formidable.
Oh, now I can't remember what he wears as a costume now, what colors. I don't remember.
I don't think he wears a costume. I think he just roughs it, you know?
He fights crime in his underwear.
Not his underwear.
Or less. No, he's in dungarees or something.
Yeah, longies. Longies.
But, yeah. Longies, yeah. And who else? So Marvel side, yeah, I'm not seeing too much of that yellow. But so Daredevil starts off, and he's one of the few disabled superheroes that his other senses take over and make him more than normal.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing.
Well, Marvel did a lot. I mean, I'm not sure who had the first black hero, if it was DC or Marvel, but they tried to get like the Falcon
Black
and
Falcon.
Other characters going. And,
yeah.
They introduced a lot of diverse characters early on.
And there was Black Lightning was on DC, but I don't know when he came out. And then they had, I can never remember this guy's name.
I'm wearing Marvel pants right now. Target was selling these. These are awesome. They got the 60s renditions of Thor, Iron Man, Hulk, Spidey.
Oh, sweet.
All over them. It's cool.
Oh, nice.
I feel like a kid. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know why they're calling those lounge pants, because I have no problem with putting them on and going to Walmart. No, I don't care.
Oh, no, I see. I can't do that.
You can't do that?
I feel like I'm in my underwear.
In your pajamas?
Or out in my jammies.
Okay.
I have hang-ups.
Yeah, I have no conceptual understanding of that. So I'll wear my Batman lounge pants out. I don't care. You know, and sometimes you get a positive response. So we had the Daredevil. And he was blind. It's kind of along the lines of the $6 million man is actually a very handicapped person that through science is made into something more than your average Joe. And then also there's a horror movie group called the Tomb of the Blind Dead, which was three or four films that came out of Spain. And it was about some warriors that were a religious group, and when they died, I don't know why they died. And it was a very bizarre premise where they couldn't see you. They were basically skeletons with knives, and they couldn't see you, but they could hear you. Now, a skeleton doesn't have ears either, but if you made noise, they would go.
Oh, jeez.
You know, yeah.
At least Harryhausen's skeleton scream, you know.
Like a dog, you know. No, there's probably gritting of teeth. But, you know, it's kind of like a dog. What was that, you know? They couldn't see you, but if you made a noise, they could, you know, do this little doggy thing. Like, what? What was that? And then they moved towards you. And so in order to get around them, you had to, like, take off your shoes and tippy toe. It was really weird, but it was a Tomb of the Blind Dead, and they were so good that they ended up making like three or four of these things. I ended up getting the box set, and it's kind of cool because the box set is in the shape of a tomb. It's a little coffin filled with DVDs.
Awesome. That is cool.
Yeah. So just kind of chiming in on the blind aspect in horror and comic books and stuff like that. And I actually, I don't know if you've made any purchases into this. You can get Marvel Essentials, and they are a reprint in black and white of the Daredevil, and I've got like volumes 1 through 5 or 6, and it's
so are they black and white reprints.
They are black and white reprints, so and they're not that expensive. You can probably pick them up for about $10-$15 a pop, and it's like 500 pages, so you're getting quite a bunch of reprints in there. And then you know you got volume 1, volume 2, volume 3. And so you start to. You, at first, I believe Daredevil had Ditko doing some of them, maybe. Maybe, yes.
I think the early
Daredevil were Ditko, and then later changed over to another artist that's one of my fan favorites is Gene Colan or Colan. I don't know.
Yeah.
C-O-L-O-N.
He wasn't one of my faves. We talked about him once.
Well, I know Gil Kane isn't one of your faves, but the
Gil Kane, I didn't.
Yeah, but the Gene Colan guy, man, wow, he had this way of appreciating shadow and darkness and mm-hmm. really using it to bring, and when they were in color, they were amazing. Black and white, still kind of fetching.
Oh, jeez.
And so, yeah, I enjoyed the Daredevil as we were seeing an evolution of the character moving up. And Gene Colan did all red, darker red when he was with Natasha. The Russian. Yeah. And so it was a lot of fun reading those.
I had so much fun collecting those. Because I didn't start until, like, I want to say 73, 74 collecting, like in earnest.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And, you know, going to other kids' closets, cleaning them out, buying them out for like a nickel a book or dime a book or something, and getting big stacks of them, taking them home, filling in holes in the collection, trading doubles out to get stuff I didn't have. And that was fun.
You were reading them, right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I would
get a big glass of milk. And what was it? Mm-hmm. Was it Chips Ahoy? I don't know. They had those rows of chocolate chip cookies. Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe it was Mr. Chips, the smaller ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, that was it. I'd go through like 3 or 4 of them very carefully. I'd keep the milk at least arm's length away from
the
comic book.
Keep
the
milk and peanut butter away from the paper, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would enjoy the hell out of that.
I enjoyed the reading and the art. And as far as collecting. Well, I would go and buy the monthly magazines that I was following, but I didn't think mm-hmm. of myself as a collector. In my opinion or knowledge, I feel like the collector is sitting there going, this is worth $7.58. Can't wait to sell it. That's, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't
I'd like
really
to think
collecting
of myself as a hybrid. I love them. Mm-hmm. I love what I love. There's some stuff I have I don't think I'd ever sell. I have too many good memories of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I have stuff that or would purchase stuff if I knew it was a good price, if I could flip it, and it's not something mm-hmm. I was like really attached to. Either give it as a gift to somebody I know who would love it, or mm-hmm. or, you know, flip it to a stranger, you know, at a sale or at a trade show or something like that.
I've got some of the 1975 oversized comic books.
The really huge ones? The really big ones?
Yeah, they came out with some for Christmas. There were two or mm-hmm. three of those, and then there were like the Hulk and Superman.
Oh no, I was thinking of these
Spider-Man and
DC put out these
Superman.
Giant things. Gar, they were like 3 feet tall almost.
Yes, yeah.
And they, I have Action number 1 and Detective. What was the one with Batman 39 or 38
Detective,
or whatever?
Yeah, right. It has Slam Brady and Batman in it. It was like one of the first ones. And I really wish they would have started and gone, you know what, we just printed this one really large. Why don't we go and print the second issue really large? And then you could start following, because it's like Slam Brady was a detective story. And it ended in a cliffhanger. Like, wait a second. You can't do that. I was like, oh, yeah, we can.
Yeah.
We got your money. We don't care.
see, and like I said, there are some things I guess I would, if I wasn't emotionally attached, I would sell. But then there's things like, I know I'm a reader because when they came out with the reprints of EC, oh my God, I went nuts. I couldn't buy enough of that. And I waited like a like a vulture waiting for the next issue, you know, fill that up, because I knew I could never afford to get the original ECs, but now I could get the stories at least and see what the art looked like and you know, have a bunch of what I could never afford to buy, you know, originals, because some of that stuff's insanely expensive.
It is. And you can get, like I said, the black and white reprints of these things, and they are crazily inexpensive. Or you can get reprints and their color, they are kind of hefty in their prices, though.
Well, they have those big books of them, but these were comic book sized reprints that they did. I want to say, let's see, I was living in the apartment, so 88? It was like around the time I got married. So 87, 88, 89. I wish I had one handy. I could tell you who printed them. But they were exact duplicates of the original, you know, other than they changed the price and a little tiny bit on the cover. But
I've got some hit or miss magazines like Vampirella, one of them, or The Spirit, two or three of them, you know, and just kind of hit or miss. I don't have like, you know, it's like, well, you know, and the Vampirella is not all stories about her, but other spooky stories.
Oh, yeah, there are. I used to have a bunch of the Warren mags, and unfortunately I had to sell those when I was facing a financial crisis along with my Marvel collection. But there were a lot of those big Warren mags, Eerie, Creepy, Eepy, and Eepy,
yeah,
too.
All those.
Not?
Yeah.
And the same people who brought us Famous Monsters from Filmland.
I don't know when. I ran across this, going back to the Blind Dead movies. I ran across that. It was televised, and it had to be. It was cut down for TV, but it ran on TV in the 70s, and I saw it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy creepy. It was crazy creepy because the skeletons not only were blind, but they could hear. But they rode skeleton horses. As they should. However, it was not that stop action guy that you like. It was
no.
No, they like had someone holding up the skeletons and they were out of frame. And it was amazing quality, spooky Spain movies. And just like, wow. And then they ended up doing, you know, several of them, but it was when I saw it as a kid, much more frightening. Now I see it and I revel in it because I see it more as a humor device than, you know, say, you know, it's scary, but it did have elements of, ooh, you know, what's going to happen. But my sense of fear is not as high as it was when I was a kid. I guess. But like here's some weird things that happened. This week I was honored to get a box, and inside that one box were two other boxes, and those boxes were the original child guidance Sesame Street hand puppets of Oscar the Grouch and Cookie Monster. Okay. And I got them. And when I got them,
I don't
want to
know what you're doing with them in your private time, dude. That's your business.
They're just love hand puppets. They're great. The goof was that, you know, I got the box and I was like, man, when I was like seven and I got these things as a present for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the box was like 10 feet tall, and now it's like, you know, 8 inches, and it's like a little teeny, and I'm like, what? Wow.
Our perspectives change over time.
Yes, our perspectives change so much. And so it was kind of funny because I got him. I was like, oh, look at this. This is a child guidance box I was looking at. I was reading the date, 1973, and all this other stuff, and it was like, oh, this is so cool. And it showed some other puppets that they were selling at the time also on there. But, you know, I was looking at it, I was like, oh, this is so good, but so small. Whereas before, it was like, you know, it was almost like opening a refrigerator box or something back when I was a kid.
There you go. By the way, I saw your Soki collection online. Very nice.
Oh, yes, yes. I tossed that out there. That is, that's every, well, no. I've got two more. I've got Secret Squirrel and Morocco Mole that are not.
No way.
And Morocco Mole does, the cap does look like his fez or whatever. So it's pretty cool. Those are cool. Somehow I ended up with a bunch of squeaky Snoopy, the dog from Peanuts. A lot of those have Woodstock with them. And they're like doggy toys, but I would never. I had dogs. I would never let them. No, sorry, you don't get a chew on Snoopy. They're just cool. I have those up on the shelf too, with Godzilla and whatever else I got. Mego's kicking out a whole lot of horror little 8-inch action figures, and they've got Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, Mummy, all the Universal ones.
How big?
Yeah.
How big?
How what?
The new line of toys. How tall do you think they are?
They're 8 inches tall.
8 inches.
They're just like the they're the 8-inch. Back in the 1973 to 1983, Mego was in the top five. And what Mego did was, when they came to market, they established the size of action figures. G.I. Joe was really tall. He was like 12, 13 inches tall. Mego came out with 8 inches.
Good size.
8 inches. And for a kid, 8 inches is a lot more manageable than G.I. Joe was just a handful. It was just a big, huge thing. The 8-inch tall one, perfect. And so for 10 years, when Mego was on top, they kept the standard of action figures to that size. Then, well, Star Wars came out in 77, I believe, and all of a sudden action figures went down to like 4 inches tall. And then that's when Kenner, Hasbro, whatever, they kind of, that was it. Mego had the opportunity to get into Star Wars, and had they done that, we would still have the 8-inch standard size action figures. Because when they were approached by the Star Wars people, and Mego said, it's a flash in the pan. It's just, nothing's going to happen with this film. And yeah, they missed the boat. They had Star Trek. They had Planet of the Apes. They had all these other things. And they had the superheroes. And had they gone into Star Wars, I mean, they did just make a resurgence back into the toy market within the last, I want to say, 5 years. And they've been kicking out some okay stuff. But, you know, they missed the boat with the Star Wars back in 77.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they were. And Remco was another action figure folks. They kicked out Universal Monsters. And they did really well with them, too. But I digress. I don't even know how I started talking about toys. I was talking about the things that I got. The little box that was so much bigger when I was a kid. Crazy. So what do you know about this Braille chalk we were discussing? Oh, there you are. Okay. I was saying, are you crashing? Time to go?
A little bit. That, and I had a slight audio problem there. Going blank for a minute periodically.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's wrap it up. Toss out the Jimmy Durante. Why don't we?
I would say break a leg, but that's probably not funny right now.
Well, so far my legs are okay, so not bad. Doing all right.
With our partner, I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he didn't break a leg, thankfully, or nothing else, thankfully. But
still not fun thing.
No.
He's a trooper. He's a stalwart. As are
he
you,
is.
Sir.
He is.
I know you guys are
and,
here.
And I don't,
he can be.
I don't think that he lost any work out of this. I don't know. I mean,
maybe a day.
It's impossible to stop that guy. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. No, he's like
That's
a train.
Impossible.
He's
he
a
is.
Train.
Crazy.
Yep.
All the best to Dave. Hope he gets better soon.
We love Dave.
On the men. Yes,
yep.
We do. So a whole lot of fun with the blind stuff, and it moves so easily into horror and comics, so it's all there.
It is.
Who else? Alicia Masters.
Oh, that's right. She was a major character for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And she proved that you could sculpt even though you didn't have sight.
Yep.
And,
now,
and
did, what's his name, the Cyclops from X-Men, was he blind? No, he wasn't blind.
He
shot stuff out of his eyes, though.
He could see, but talk about rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, see.
Comic book
yeah.
stand-up with Gar the Ghoul.
Yeah, well, you know, we're here every Friday. Come on by.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. Gosh, anything else? Yeah, I can't. Yeah. All right. Roll the Jimmy and we'll back
roll
out
the film,
quietly.
Julio.
All right.
Whatever that means.
I don't know.
Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Ari, bo, up we the same. And he could think it do. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever. Hats.
Mortifying. See you next time.